thinking about mountaintop experiences and God speaking to his people and God speaking into creation and really God speaking creation into being. And putting those two together today, we're going to visit two mountains in the Bible where God spoke, where God speaks. And the first one, Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 20, you all know what happened there and then. But if I look at this first verse in Exodus chapter 20, it says, Exodus 20 verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these words, saying." And the Hebrew word for spoke and words, the root word is the same. It's dabar. You could almost say, "And God spoke this speech," or "God worded these words," is really what the Hebrew says. And then it says, "saying." And it's a different Hebrew word. It's amar. I'm looking at the ESV, the English Standard Version. The NIV, and probably some others, doesn't have the word "saying." Now, we would look at that, probably any of us, and say, well, it's repetitive. It's not needed. Because it already said, "and God spoke all these words." Do we really need to say then, "saying"? Well, it's in there. And I don't know why the NIV and others don't have it in, other than it's repetitive. They say in English, we don't need it. And yet, this word amar is a key word, and it is saying, it is uttering. It is now the words are about to come out from God himself. So the Ten Commandments that we have in Exodus 20 are spoken, said directly by God. And as we're going to see, when God speaks in this way, saying amar, what he says is, and it happens, and it is to be forever in most cases. So I'm going to read through what we call the Ten Commandments and put in this saying that covers all of them, meaning, I'll read it like this: "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And God said, you shall have no other gods before me. And God said, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. And God said," this is the amar that continues throughout, "and God said, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And God said, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And God said, you shall not murder. And God said, you shall not commit adultery. And God said, you shall not steal. And God said, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And God said, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's." Now I put in the "and God said" because that's really what that word amar, saying, means. God said, God said. Where else in the Bible do we have 10 times where we read, "and God said," with the word amar, this Hebrew word? Genesis chapter 1. We think of the creation account, rightly so, as being structured over the course of 7 days, the first 7 days. 6 days of creation, seventh day of rest. And there was evening, and there was morning, day one, and on. But there's a substructure it's easy to miss. And it is these 10 times in Genesis chapter 1 where it says, "and God amar, said." So I'm going to read through Genesis chapter 1, and here the words are already in there. Listen for God speaking. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. Hebrew calendar, they observe the day starting at sunset and then going again round back to sunset. So it starts in the evening is when the day starts, and there's evening and morning and so on. And God said, verse 9, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. Each according to its kind. God created all the different species, all the different types and kinds right from the get-go. And when it said it was good, we looked at this last Sunday, the word, Hebrew word for good is tov. Doesn't mean like, "Oh, I like that. That's nice. That's good." It means it is doing exactly what God created it and formed it and designed it to do. When we are obeying God's word and his commands, that's tov, meaning we're doing what he designed us and created us to do. That's good. And God said, verse 14, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. Whenever it's "and God said," there's always "and it was so." And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Amar, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. This is different. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. The only creature, the only thing God makes and creates that is to be over the rest of creation. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. That is Genesis chapter 1. 10 and God says in Genesis 1, 10 and God says in Exodus chapter 20, where he gives the 10 commandments, where if they were perfectly obeyed, humanity would have been restored to the initial creation, meaning tov, good. If every commandment was obeyed, beginning with you shall have no other gods before me, if everyone was truly worshiping God above all else, can you imagine how this world would look right now? If every single person on the planet was worshiping God, loving him with their heart, soul, mind, and strength in all they did, we would be back in Eden. Of course, we know the story. Genesis chapter 3, and even those 10 commandments, even though at the time people said, yes, we will obey. Very shortly thereafter, there was an incident involving a golden calf. They were worshiping this created thing right there before Moses even got down from the mountain. Well, no other laws were given in the Bible, even in the same way that the 10 commandments were. Meaning, God speaking directly and saying, this is my word that will be and is to be. Now we say, well, it actually wasn't because they sinned, they failed, they fell short almost immediately, and yet it was fulfilled. How? Anyone? Jesus. Always the right answer, right? Jesus. He is the answer. He did. So when God says, this will be, and God said, in one sense, we could hear Jesus the Son saying, yes, 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 down the line. And he did fulfill all of God's words and commands perfectly. The Ten Commandments, we call them commandments. They obviously are. You shall not, you shall, you should, you shall not. They're commands from God. And yet, in God's word, they're not described as commandments in this one text, but simply words. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 34, verse 27 and 28. The Hebrew word dabar for word is in here four times. English translations translate the first three times as word or words, and the fourth time they all of a sudden switch to commandments. I'll read it. And the Lord said to Moses, write these words, dabar. For in accordance with these words, dabar, I, the Lord, have made a covenant with you and with my people Israel. So he was there, Moses, with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he, Moses, wrote on the tablets the words, dabar, of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And yet in Hebrew, it's dabar again. Literally, it is he wrote the 10 words. And God said. The next mountaintop I'm going to go to is actually not a mountaintop, but a mountainside. This is in the Gospel of Matthew. I'm gonna lean on my walking staff. It's to remind me to lean on the Lord. This did help me hike, by the way, in Colorado. So, the end of Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and Jesus healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, that is the region of 10 cities, and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, there it is again. There's some similarities here. Obviously, Jesus is going to refer to the law, the words given to Moses on Mount Sinai in this Sermon on the Mount. He's going to expand them and expound on them and teach about them, among other things. He went up on this mountainside, and he himself is God. And just like in Exodus 20, it said, and God spoke these words, saying, here it says, and Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying. We could say, and Jesus said, and Jesus said, and Jesus said, all throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, over and over again. The Greek word for saying is lego. Literally, just like the toy building block Lego, that is the Greek word. And interestingly, at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus will say, and whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built. You can picture the Lego, taking his sayings, putting them all together, building this house, not of little plastic blocks, but of real solid establishment on the rock. Well, I'm simply going to read now. You're getting God's word today. We heard the Ten Commandments. We heard the creation account, Genesis 1. And here, listen to Jesus speak these words. Beginning in Matthew chapter 5. With ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive what God has for us. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. And Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." And Jesus said, "It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." And Jesus said, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." And Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." And Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun, S-U-N, rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And Jesus said, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And Jesus said, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And Jesus said, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And Jesus said, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And Jesus said, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. And Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And Jesus said, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." And Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." And Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." And Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." And Jesus said, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Heavenly Father, through your Apostle Paul, he said to his protege, Timothy, to devote himself to the public reading of your word, of the scriptures. And Lord, we read when the Israelites returned from exile in Babylon to Jerusalem, and your word, the words of the covenant, were opened to them and were read to them from early morning until noon. And they were under the hearing all morning for hours of your word. And then the Levites and others who were instructed in your word were going around to help people understand what they had heard. Lord, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would do that for us, as we've heard again from Exodus chapter 20, from Genesis chapter 1, and from Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Lord, all your words that you have said then and say now to us, help us by your Spirit to respond, Jesus, as you said, to do what you've said, knowing that we can't do it in our own strength, but leaning again on you and on your Spirit at work in us to be your people. We thank you and praise you, God, for these experiences and these words. In Jesus' name, amen.